on News Radio KFGO.
It is an extended real estate update with the team at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties. We welcome back Pat Carley. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And Deb Clark, welcome back to KFGO.
Thank you.
And hello again to Brian Burr.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's start here. Everybody's talking about interest rates. Where are interest rates now? And I'm guessing they're low because everyone's talking about them. And how low can they go?
Well, interest rates are just incredible. They're like at a 50-year low. Like, say, for example, a conventional loan, 15 years is 2.25%. A 30-year conventional is 2.5 to 2.625%. And an FHA 30-year, 2015 year, that's at 2.25, and they're really predicted to stay low, at least for the rest of this year. That's pretty incredible.
That is really incredible. And I feel like they've been there for a while now.
The interest rates have been dropping. I mean, this is the lowest I've ever heard. I mean, I think these are historic lows. I think, you know, just 2 weeks ago, 2.75 was the low for the 30-year. What it depends, though, too, not everybody can get that. It depends. You have to have, you know, a good credit score. You need, and it depends on origination fees, so your fees. It depends on how you choose to take those fees and how long you're locking your interest rate. So, but these are, you know, the 2.25 and the 2.5 are historic. I mean, they've never been there.
So let me ask you this, Pat. Does this mean that we are seeing a lot of people entering this buy market that maybe have not looked at buying a home before?
Yes, I think we are. I really think we are. But we're also, the lenders are just swamped with refi too,
and the appraisers too.
Oh yeah,
and home inspectors.
Yeah, it's a busy market.
So This seems silly after you tell me it's busy, but is that in fact how the COVID pandemic has affected the real estate market? I mean, how has it affected? How has it affected prices? It seems like it's been all good news.
Yeah, so it's been good news for sellers, you know, assuming that they're willing to sell. So the thing is with the COVID stuff, there's more sellers that are holding off putting their houses on the market than maybe would in a typical year, you know, especially if it's someone older or kind of compromised or with underlying conditions. Right now, they just don't want to have a lot of people through their house. So there's, like I said, less houses going on the market. And then when you combine that with the really low interest rates that, you know, kind of gets more buyers in the market fighting over fewer properties, it does drive prices up, and then places are selling pretty quick. You know, the good news for the buyers, even though the prices are kind of rising, those really low interest rates kind of combat that. So a lot of times, even though they're paying, you know, maybe a little more for a house than they would have a year ago, with the super low interest rate, really the payments are about the same.
We have a question for you already in our text club. That's 35270 if you want to talk to our real estate experts from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties. You can text into 35270. That's our text club sponsored by 702 Communications. If you lock your rate in now and it goes lower, are you able to lower that rate, or how does that work, is the question that's been posed.
Theoretically, no. Theoretically, a lock is a lock, except you can negotiate. So, you know, and that has happened. I think, you know, sometimes lenders will, you know, they'll say, yeah, I get it. And they will let you go.
Like one more time.
If, but, you know, it is a lock. So it's a negotiation that you're going to need to talk about. And, you know, I know I had some people who locked their rate in May. I mean, and now it's, you know, July, and it's a whole lot lower. So, I mean, it's not a whole lot lower, but it's still significantly lower. So, you know, yeah, that would be a good question to ask your lender. And I think people do negotiate that.
That's the next question in, and I think maybe we answered this, but our next question in says, I just refinanced my house about 2 months ago at 3.275. Should I be looking at refinancing again? And yes, it's a 30-year loan with great credit.
The big thing I would say is, you know, really look at how long you're going to stay in the house, you know, because if you know you're only going to, you know, say it's a starter house and you're only planning to be there for, you know, 4 or 5 years, generally a refinance, the break-even point comes around year three. So if you know you're not going to be there, or if you know you're not going to be there too much beyond 3 years, the risk might not be worth it. That being said, if you, you know, have a 30-year loan and you know that you're going to be in that house 10 years or longer, definitely look at it. You know, definitely look at it. That's what I tell people. A lot of times the fees to get your rate lower, or the fees with the refinance, you know, you're saving that money back over time. So if you're not going to be in that house an extremely long amount of time, it might not make sense to do it.
This person says they're staying forever. So
yeah, then
we all are staying forever. Yeah.
They've heard that before.
One of the things too, when you're doing that, I mean, I looked at refinancing too, and I was over just a little bit over three. And I looked at refinancing, and for me to, you know, shorten the term, I've been paying down my loan, so my balance is not going to be, I'm shortening up the term of my loan. So if I can't make my new refi loan and payment lower, then am I making sense here?
Yeah, I'm following.
Yep.
You know, so then it's not worth it to me. I mean, because you're going to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, depending upon the house and depending upon the mortgage, you're going to pay that much over time. So take a look at the numbers, and it may work, it may not. But shorten the term if you can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask a question that's got a personal piece of information for me. For those people who are looking at maybe buying a second home or an investment property and using these low rates, are we talking about the same rate for someone who's buying a second home or an investment property as someone who's buying their primary residence?
Generally, yes, depending on your down payment. So as long as you're putting down a fair down payment, you can generally get these interest rates or something really close to it. You know, I guess the other ideas too that I have clients currently working with. So say they have a bunch of equity in their current house. There's, we call them HELOCs or home equity line of credit. So basically that is borrowing against the house you currently have. So you're borrowing against your primary house. So say there's a secondary property, or we deal with it a lot in Lakes property where there's a, say, a manufactured home that's a little tougher to get financing on. Well, if you can get that money out of your current house, buy the Lake property with cash, and then get the really low interest rate because technically it's backed by your primary residence, that's a really good way to do it.
That makes sense.
Someone just said, we just refinanced, went from a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan at 2.25, and our monthly payment is less.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing. Okay, so tell us what buyers are looking for. Is the stories that we're seeing around about everybody looking for a Zoom room, is that true? What are buyers looking for?
Well, I think a lot of buyers right now are looking for more space because of COVID. They're staying home. They're having their offices there. Go out and try and find a printer or a computer. But, you know, so they're staying put. And you know, just because of the office space that they need. I'm not saying a state, so I should back that up. But they're looking for more space. And so, you know, you go out there and you're trying to get something, more square footage, and it's fine, but there's not a lot of inventory out there, so we're having a little bit of a problem with that.
We need to get more people excited about selling.
But, yeah, buyers, I think, are also wanting to have something that they don't have a lot of fixer-upper to. But then there's, you know, then there are, I've run into some folks who have the time now and could fix up and so are looking for a little something they can maybe do. So, but I don't think, you know, that we know that the properties that are what we call cream puffs, perfect condition, well done, nicely updated, those guys and with an office space are really going to sell well.
Cream puffs. Oh, I didn't.
Cream puff.
I didn't know that was a phrase.
I like that in my home, and I like that in my desserts.
Yes, exactly.
I think I'm going to go home and make some
cream puffs. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, stay tuned. Pat Carley, Deb Clark, and Brian Burr are with us. They are from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties. They're taking all your real estate questions until 2 o'clock here on KFGO. Real estate update time, an hour long. If you've got a question for the experts, you can text us at 35270. You can give us a call, too, 237-5948. Let's see. Okay, everybody's looking for more space. Do they know they have to clean it? Pat Carley, Deb Clark, Brian Burr with us. So many people are working from home now. They're asking for bigger spaces. They're asking for offices. Anything else that's it? Working from home, has that impacted in any other ways?
Yes, I would say that being able to work from home has definitely kind of helped the rural areas, and then a lot of people are maybe even just getting one lake property that they stay at all the time since they don't have to commute into town. So the big thing with that is if your plan is to, you know, there's a lot of places that are, even when COVID is done, are going to kind of keep, if it's working good, keep things as they are, where people work from home a lot more than maybe they did in the past. So that makes it exciting to people that they can, you know, get a place a little out of town. The big thing is just make sure you have decent internet. It's not the same everywhere. So that's the one thing that I know people are always asking about now that they maybe didn't in the past in the rural places is how good is the internet? Because I want to move out here, have one spot and work from home. And if I don't have good enough service, then I can't do that.
Interesting.
So how does someone go about doing that? Do you call a local provider and find out what they've got to offer? I imagine with lake places, maybe there are areas that aren't served the same as others, and you'd have to go with something like one of the cell providers?
Yep. So it is. You're exactly right. You almost have to call the provider, and gosh, please keep calling them because there is there's a need for certain areas in Lakes Country that don't have good internet. And you know, the providers just think that that's not a priority, but realistically, the more people that call and let them know that, hey, we do need high-speed internet in these areas is great. There is little tricks that you can do too. There's, you can get satellite internet with boosters that works a lot of the time. The big thing a lot of people, you know, need to know is they ask me how good the internet is and but they need to know what they need. You know, if you're doing a lot of, what we say, uploading, it's going to be really tough. But, you know, realistically, if you can get, you know, 50 MPSs or more for downloading, if you just need a lot of download speed, just about everything out there is pretty efficient.
Yeah, I have a lake cabin near Itasca, and we just got internet last year. From CenturyLink, and what a difference it makes. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. And so I could theoretically work from up there now. And it's just, in fact, my next-door neighbor at the lake, she's working from home. They live out of Elk River in the Minneapolis area. And she's been working from home since this whole COVID thing started. And she's an IT person. So it's just, that's crazy.
Okay, so let's talk about saving up for a down payment. If someone wants to get into a home, how long do they need to wait before they buy if they're saving for that down payment?
I don't think, it doesn't make sense to save right now. I think it makes more sense to buy because there's so many programs that offer down payment assistance. So if you can get in without, you know, saving up, because who knows what's going to happen, I mean, in a year. And if you're waiting a year, you're going to lose these interest rates. And so it really, I think you're better off numbers-wise almost anyway to just get in as soon as you can, because again, who knows how long these interest rates will last.
Right.
I'm assuming they're going to last through the election because they always do.
I always do, and then until next year. But, it'd be silly not to do something right now because we don't know.
Does this interest rate, this is a text in at 35270, does this interest rate apply to buying land or just homes?
This would be just for homes. Usually interest rates on land are a little bit higher. It doesn't make sense to me because, you know, realistically, the land is what it's worth. It's, you know, a house, you can have damage to the house and lose a lot of value. But for whatever reason, land interest rates are a little more expensive. A lot of times, banks will do like a 20-year loan on land. A lot of times as well, they can work that into a construction loan if you are planning to build relatively soon. Like I said, to me, it would always make sense that land interest rates should be lower, but for whatever reason, they're not.
And it's really difficult to get a loan on land. They most lenders do not like to loan on land for some reason, too.
Interesting.
So
I live 5 miles north of Holly, this text says, and no internet. So it doesn't take far off the path of what you think is a town.
No, you're exactly right. I think of a couple listings we've had in Holly, just outside of town, and realistically the only option in some areas is Arvig with 10 MBSs. That being said, Holly does have a lot of, oh gosh, and I wish I knew the exact word for it, but there is a lot of internet that you can get through cell towers, and that can get you up to about 50 MBPSs. Usually you can get that through Mid-Continent. Realistically, just knowing that info probably saved a deal for me this year where someone wanted to get out of the area, just looked at what was in the ground, and what was in the ground wasn't going to be sufficient for them working from home. But fortunately, the homeowner already knew, hey, no, we get this internet through Midco, through cell towers, and it is sporadic, and it's crazy that there's areas where you wouldn't even think that there's great internet, and for whatever reason they have high speed fiber optic. It is kind of hit and miss for sure.
We'll be back with
more. That's a good thing when you're listing a property.
Just a minute, we got to get to news, but we're going to get back to your comment on that, Deb Clark, when we come back. Pat Carley, Deb Clark, the team at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties is here, and we'll continue this real estate update when we come back after KFGO News.
This is News Radio.
It Takes Two with Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon. It is an hour-long real estate update with our good friends Pat Carley, Deb Clark, and Brian Burr from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties. You hear them every single Friday right here on the Mighty 790. Gang, let's jump back into this. So we've been talking a lot about these great interest rates for buyers, the things that they're looking for, but what about the sellers? What's changed in the last year for sellers?
Well, okay, so there are people who need to, we're seeing people really want homes that are ready to roll. You know, if it's not in good condition, it's not going to sell. And they're also, you know, they've been very picky about location. And what we're seeing is it's really interesting that the younger folks are really active in the market right now. And we're seeing a lot of millennials. And so homes that are priced, you know, from we have if you've got a home that's priced between 160 and 180, we only have like 1 month of inventory. Typically, we'll have about, you know, 4 or 5 months. But right now, from 160 to 250, we're seeing 1 and 2 months of inventory. So there's the all the way from, you know, 300 on down. Man, we could really use some houses.
Wow.
So, but it has to be in good condition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's piggyback on that. If I am a homeowner and I want to achieve cream puff status with my home as I list it, is it a wise idea for me to go and maybe take out a small home loan to be able to afford all of those fix-ups? Or are do-it-yourself, even if it doesn't look perfect, but it is new cabinetry, maybe some new appliances, it's a double-edged sword either way. Which should homeowners be looking at?
I would say it would be wise to put some money into your house. Like you said, even if you do have to get a small loan. So the thing is, with interest rates being so low, it's really enticing to a buyer to have something that's completely turnkey. You know, the money that you spend on fixing up your house, you should be able to get that money back and then some, as long as you're not taking out stuff that's in okay condition anyhow. But just think of it as a buyer being able to repay back, you know, new carpet or new tile over 30 years. I mean, the amount that it affects their payment is pretty minimal. So the big thing is, you know, yeah, especially a new buyer is going to spend a significant amount of the cash they have on hand with their down payment for their bank fees. So if there are projects that are going to cost money, that really sticks out to them because they're like, oh, shoot, I'm spending, you know, X amount on my down payment. I'm spending my cash on my fees. I want to do these projects on my own, but by the time I get into this house, I won't have that cash available. So if you're a homeowner that has the ability to do it, it definitely is probably a good idea in this market.
Okay, Brian, let me ask you this. So I take out a small home loan and I do a bunch of fit ups in the house. Is that better than allowing like a carpet allowance or a deck allowance onto the purchase of the home so that maybe they can choose what they want? Or are they looking for project free? They don't even want to schedule someone to have to come in and do this stuff.
Right. I think, especially like when you say carpet, it is so much better to do that ahead of time and do something neutral. Because like you said, people don't even want to schedule it. You know, a carpet allowance sounds good, but you would be surprised how little imagination people have when they walk into a house and there's terrible carpet. And the thing is, not only do they see terrible carpet, but subconsciously they're going to think, okay, what else in this house hasn't been taken care of or updated? And then they just kind of have a negative feeling about the whole house. So if you're going to lose the money on the allowance anyhow, might as well get the carpet in right away, make things easier, and then kind of have let the buyers come in and have those good feelings about the house instead of negative feelings, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So what you're saying is we've lost our imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nobody, very few people can visualize. I mean, really. And I know that I've had people come in and redone the carpet. And I said, you know, you should redo the carpet and because it doesn't look so good. And even I am shocked when when the carpet is redone because it just looks so much better. You don't even realize it. And, you know, I've been doing this for 20 plus years and it looks amazing when it's done.
Well, and paint.
Will we get to a point where you're going to be able to put on like the goggles and be able to see like a room completely redone with your own furniture?
Well, we sort of do that now.
Really? We have the technology?
Not goggles necessarily, but we have necessarily. But we have, and I've done this for houses that are vacant. You can do virtual staging where you know, I take pictures of a house that's empty, and they drop in furniture, change, they can change wall color, and it just looks so much better. And then, you know, what I'll do is put those pictures in the house so people can walk in and go, oh, hey, you know, it does look a lot better.
Right. And okay, so, let's talk about the empty house for a minute. Is there an advantage or a disadvantage to the house being empty? So I'm hearing you say there's a disadvantage.
I don't know if it's a disadvantage. I know that, you know, you walk into some homes and you're walking around, you know, three couches in the living room, or it's just so cluttered that you can't even visualize what it would be like with just one couch and one chair. So in that respect, it's better just to have it vacant, especially when you're putting new carpet in, because it makes the room look bigger. And I'm looking at it right now in my mind, like a light, you know, light colored carpet, oatmeal colored carpet with a really good pad. And when they walk in there, they take their shoes off, of course, and do all the mask and the sanitizing. And you walk in and you're stepping on that carpet and you're going, okay, this is nice. You know, and then you go in and you just see maybe new appliances. I mean, the big thing besides carpet and paint is deep clean. So when people walk in there, they don't have to go, God, it smells like a cat, it smells like a dog. You know, they just want it clean, and that means a lot.
Okay, so Debbie hit the nail on the head. I was going to ask about the smell, because when we were looking for homes, I know two places that looked amazing. They were priced right, but I took one smell in there and I thought, "Boof, no, thank you." You know, we didn't even bother to tour the entire house because of that. Smell obviously is something right off the bat that can really get people to be weary of a home. Is there something you can do? Like, let's say you had a cat. And
yeah, they left a little surprise here and there.
Right. I mean, you know, what is there something a homeowner can do to combat that, even just for the showings?
That is a real tough deal. You know, because I think cats, and I've had cats, and I like cats, but boy, they can really ruin a carpet. And there's really very little you can do to get rid of that, because it just soaks in and soaks down. And if it gets to the subfloor, you've really got issues. You might even have to replace that subfloor. So, smell and cats, I mean, can really stop a sale.
I know that sometimes that, sellers will, because they have a cat, they'll get those little plug-in deodorant things or those, and it's so overpowering. And then you go, okay, what are they trying to hide? And the first thing I do, if it's my listing, I go over and I take those things out and I put them in a drawer, because right away you think, what they're hiding. And they, you know, again, with cats, nobody wants, you know, some people walk in, they'll turn around right back out, because then all of a sudden they start wheezing and their eyes start watering. Or if you see a cat walk across the counter, you're going, okay, bye-bye. So they can really ruin a deal.
And I suppose part of that is by, you know, when you walk in and you're representing a house, you probably have to be honest with people. Because I know people can go nose blind, right? The scent of their house doesn't mean anything to them anymore. And sometimes I imagine you have to be very delicate with,
Your house smells.
You got a stinky house.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll say, oh, yeah, don't let the cat out. Oh, the cat will stay under the bed, but just don't let it outside, please. And they're going, oh, my God. So you're turning around, making sure that the storm door isn't left open, you know, and they go, well, here, kitty. To me, I would just open the patio door and let them out. But and say, oop. But, yeah, that's just me.
Okay, we've established Deb really doesn't like cats.
Yep.
Okay, so this is an interesting point in our text club, but one around carpet. It says, as a person trying to save the earth and keep stuff out of the landfill, so thankful I stood my ground with carpet allowance, because we would have put new carpet, they tore it up anyway and put in hardwood. They also tore a brand new tile as they wanted hardwood. I get what you're saying, but are other things to consider about waste? And not only about waste, but I'll say this. This is what I take from that. Yes, consider waste, but also consider where are those spaces in your homes where someone might like hardwood better than carpet. That's a really good point to try to distinguish as well.
Well, there's no doubt that carpet is more people like the solid surfaces. You know, there's laminates have just come a long way. Duraceramic is great. It's not as hard as a ceramic tile or a tile floor. So, if you can do a solid surface, I would do that, because we do see people really leaning toward that more than carpets, I think.
Yeah. Well, and easier to clean. They look cleaner. They're easier to maintain sometimes, especially, like you said, there's so many new things on the market.
Well, you can also, you know, with the laminate flooring, then you can decorate it with a nice area rug, which you take with you when you leave. That doesn't stay because it's not attached.
That's a great point.
Can I ask a quick question? I'm always curious about this. What are some things that you have had clients ask to be left behind? So, you know, for instance, Deb, you just said a great area rug. I mean, has that ever become the pinch point in a sale or not? Are there any weird things that you're like, well, they were really attached to this lawn gnome, and that was to make the sale with it?
Yeah. One's like a decorative mirror. It is attached, so it should stay. But people like those bar stools, and if they're really nice, boy, they really want those included. So I think something like that, or certain window treatments, unless it's excluded, you should take them down. But anything that you don't want to leave with the home, take that down and then replace it. Maybe that mirror is an anniversary mirror or something you bought that you really like. Take that mirror down before you list it and put something else up.
Yeah.
Or take different bar stools and put them in there, because those are really nice too. You'd like to have them stay with the house.
Interesting, yeah.
I had one fellow one time take the mailbox out of the ground.
What?
Okay. It was a John Deere mailbox, and he just had to have it. And he was the seller, and we had conversations about, no, you can't take things that are attached. And he wound up having to bring it back. But he took the mailbox, which was quite shocking when they drove up.
I bet. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That is shocking. But that's a great point, Deb, in that if you do have those things that people would assume could be left behind or would be left behind, take them down before you sell them. That's a great idea.
And also specify if there's some perennials in the garden, or maybe you want the apples off the tree, you know, because you've planted that tree and all of a sudden now it's going to be fruit bearing and you're going to be closing pretty soon. Make some kind of arrangements that at least you can go back to that house and when the apples are ready and get a bucket full of them, you know. But also some flowers, because sometimes people will dig up the flowers and go, we didn't know, they're not attached, they're in the ground, but they're not attached, you know, but, you know, so what, you know, what does attachment mean?
Someone said, what is the cause of old house smell? Maybe this is a Mr. Fix-It question. Tim Noteboom, which Pat Carley hooked us up with Tim Noteboom, and aren't we obsessed? That guy's the best. What is the cause of old house smell, and how do you get rid of that smell? Do you guys know the answer to that?
Old people.
Yeah. It could be several things. I mean, a lot of times, if a house, you know, say if it is a vacant house, just not having the air circulating can kind of, the air will just get stale, you know, so if you don't have an air exchanger, and if the house is vacant and you're not running the AC and circulating air, just the air inside gets stale. And musty smells usually do indicate moisture. So I guess that's the other thing too. If the old smell is in a basement, you know, keep in mind there is probably moisture down there, and everyone kind of has a different level of tolerance to must smell and moisture smells. You know, some people say, well, it's a basement, I'm not going to go down there, and it is what it is. And other people are really, really concerned about it. So it's,
dehumidifiers go a long way.
Yep.
Yeah.
In my house, I couldn't figure out why the windows were kind of steaming up a little bit. And so I called Laney's. They came over and they said, well, for one thing, you know, the moisture, I mean, the humidity in here is just dripping, you know, and I wasn't aware of it. And so he changed the thermostat, and within, I'd say, half hour is all fine.
Wow.
I didn't know, because, you know, and I live there.
Right.
So I was real happy about that.
Okay, this has been very insightful. Thanks to all three of you for being with us for this hour-long real estate update. We appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of you, maybe they want to buy and sell, let's get your phone numbers. Brian Burr, your phone number, please.
Yep. I can be reached at 218-850-2004.
And Deb Clark, your phone number, please.
701-238-5468.
And Pat Carley.
701-729-6370.
Hey, thank you, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You can hear our real estate update every Friday at about 11:45 with the team at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Premier Properties.